Jason Sanders, and you're listening to TCR.
Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome to the Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. We're back, at least for one more episode, I'd say. The time is 9:01 p.m. Central Daylight Savings Time. Actually, I have no idea if it's even daylight saving times. Don't quote me on that. The date, 1/11/2017. I am one of your hosts on this journey of esports. My name is Tim. The man across the table from me. It's not Brandon. Brandon is not with us on today's show. Maybe ever again. I don't know. But the man across the table is none other than my good friend, Brett, aka Dallas Homer. How are you, man?
Good. Thanks for the invite, man.
No problem. I thought, I have such a wealth of friends that just know so much about esports, and you were right there at the top.
Yeah.
You were also at the bottom, but you were also at the top. Yep. So I appreciate you.
Well, it started from the bottom, I guess.
You're still
now
there.
I'm here?
You're still there, man.
Oh, it feels bad.
If this is your first time listening to the Center Ring, let's get this off our chest right now, okay? You're not going to hear breaking news here. You're not. In fact, we're talking about news that happened like a month ago on today's episode. It's just how it works, okay? We don't have connections. I'm sorry. But we will speak our minds. We're not in any owner's back pocket, okay? We don't represent any of the players. We just speak the truth here at TCR. And we do have a hell of a show for you today. In fact, it could just be the best episode ever. We will always end the show with e-news. Compilation of some little stories that just don't really have enough to it, but the headline caught our eyes and we feel like it warrants at least being brought up. We will talk a little bit about Cloud9 and where Stewie2K's mental capacity is at, I guess, if you want to will. Brett, being a father, he saw the... If you go on Stewie2K's Twitter, he put up a twit longer, an open letter, which is all the rage right now in esports, by the way. Open letters are everywhere.
And every parent's worst nightmare.
And Brett, being the dad, thought, no, I will not let this slide. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to break down Stewie's letter about his parents and the unnecessary opening up. But I did tease that we're going to talk about old news today. And that's the PEA fiasco that happened through the month of December, leading all the way into January. And I don't even know if it's over, to be honest with you. For those who have been living under a rock, if you follow esports at all, you obviously know what's going on in the CSGO community. But that is the players, not the players, the Professional Esports Association, the PEA, also known as P, also known as the worst acronym ever for a professional league.
I feel like it's not very... In power rankings for vegetables, it's kind of low there on the power rankings.
Well, it's just, it doesn't sound powerful. Like you hear the NFL, the NBA, that all sounds very powerful. P, that's what the masterminds were able to come up with. Okay. All right. Like MLG, you got Major League Gaming.
Right.
All that sounds wonderful. None of it sounds like P. They started back up in September-ish. Is at least when they made their announcement. This is an organization made up of NA teams such as TSM, Cloud9, NRG, Liquid, Complexity, CLG, and Immortals. Leaving out, you know, duly noted NA teams like Luminosity. I think this was right at the time, though, where Luminosity switched to SK.
Right, right.
So that's why they're not there. And then you don't have Optic Gaming.
Which, to me, is the most kind of notable leave out. I'd be interested to kind of figure out why they were left out of this.
Well, and deal. It could be that they didn't want to play ball because, again, you know the story. I'm not breaking any news here when I say this, but in their contracts with those teams and the owners, the players were led under the belief that they were going to have final say in where they play and what they do. In the contract, it really wasn't worded that way, and the players or the owners could make that decision for them. And they were bringing it with the fierce force of saying, you're not going to play in this upcoming ESL league.
Right, right. And, you know, and the players knew that, you know, there's this league.
There's an opportunity.
Right. And, you know, they were in the understanding that, you know, hey, we can drop out of this, you know, whenever we want. If we don't want to do this, we don't have to, which is in another segment, just kind of weird to me begin with.
We'll break down our opinions and beliefs on this. I just want to kind of, you know, have the skeleton of the backstory. So that's it. The PEA is a mixture of these seven organizations, I think seven, whatever I named off, count it. The players were given this big spiel of how they're going to have votes, they're going to have a say, there's going to be revenue sharing, this is where you're going to make the most money and stability. That was like the big thing was, you know, this was going to be more professional than what you're used to. This is bringing esports into where we're going to have order and we're going to have, you know, none of this Wild West.
Yeah, I mean, the nature behind it was that the owners thought that the scene, and I agree with them in that sense that it's oversaturated. I feel like every other week I'm watching a different tournament. I'm like, okay, what tournament is this?
It's insane, again? And it's not just in Counter-Strike, though. Counter-Strike is not the only one falling victim to the oversaturation in esports. It's in everyone. In everything that is somewhat popular of an esports, there's just a ridiculous number of events. And as a fan, I mean, I guess we shouldn't care as much, but as someone who wants to kind of see it mature, again, we'll get into that in a little bit. So fast forward, right? So they announced all that in September. Everyone was great. Everything was kind of cool. In the middle there, after they were announced, you had the WESA, which is basically the European version of the PEA, also announced. So they kind of had their own team union, I will say, not a players union. It's not like the players were being rallied up for all this. It was the owners and everything were being part of this. Okay. Fast forward to around December 20th, and that is where news broke on Slingshot Sports. Slingshotesports.com reported that the Professional Esports Association plans to outlaw its Counter-Strike teams from playing in the next season of the ESL Pro League, which is set in February. So realistically, like what, 2 months that they announced that, hey, you're not going to be playing in this upcoming ESL league, which ESL is one of the big daddies, right? It's been around forever. The teams have relationships. It's renowned as like ESL 1. All of those are kind of like the big premier tournaments.
It's a staple.
Yeah, they
sure.
have well, they have majors, right? Typically, right. An ESL leads to a major. So it's definitely hits close to home with the players. Needless to say, this was not taken well by the community or the players in this. I don't even know like where to begin with this, because honestly, that's what it was. So fast forward September, they announced everything. Fast forward to December, and then it just all hits the fan.
Right, and the players. I mean, I guess they should have seen this coming well before that announcement was even made, because, I mean, the voting system, I mean, how, you have to be kind of naive to think like, oh, we get a say, we get a vote. Oh, great. Yeah, this is going to be awesome. But the way that the votes were divvied out, they should have seen this coming, right?
The players are definitely at some fault. Like, so after going through all this, and I've read every open letter, like Sir Scoots did two open letters, the PEA did their own open letter, and just open letters everywhere. And I've read through all of them. I even read through them a second time today. And still, I'm on the fence. I can see both sides of the arguments of the players were definitely swindled, but at the same time, not really, because you signed up for it. Like, you were swindled in the sense of, for whatever reason, you decided to sign a contract based off a verbal agreement that, hey, you know where it says here that we can choose where you play? Just ignore that. That's mainly for scheduling purposes. We're not going to try to, you know, exclude you from anything. You still have a right to play in any tournament you want. We just want to have this for the sake of scheduling.
Right.
And they bought it and they signed the contracts and, you know, the money looked great at the time and the promise was there. Well, then when this all came down, the players, I think there was up to 25 of them, got together with Sir Scoots and said, hey, we need help. We need your expertise in this. And Sir Scoots has been in esports longer than anyone. He's had always a close relationship with the players and he's kind of historically been on their side.
Right.
Just, you know, from what I've seen, he's typically siding with the players and he's more concerned about them, which there's nothing wrong with that. That's just how he does it. And so he gathered all them up, did this open letter, and the player said, like, this is not how it was portrayed to us. This is, you know, our votes were basically, it was designed, and do you remember the number of votes? I don't off the top of my head. I know it was designed to where the league and owners outnumbered the players.
So this is how it goes. Three votes go to the players, or seven total. Three go into the players. Then you have two votes going to representatives that represent the owners.
So that's and five total.
That's five. And then you got another two going to the PEA, one of them being Jason Katz, the commissioner of PEA.
So my favorite part of that right there is, so the two votes going to PEA, those are the quote-unquote third-party votes.
And they said that, hey, players, don't worry about this. We're going to be totally unbiased.
We're going to be so unbiased about our own league. Don't you worry. This whole thing that, you know, even if you wanted to vote and it cost us money, don't worry. It's totally unbiased that me and the owners aren't going to work together. Like, give... Right there should have been the red flag. And I'm confident that the players did not know about that. There's no way that any of them...
You gotta keep in mind, the players, on average age, they might even be teenagers as an average age. I mean, not teenagers, but I mean early 20s.
Early 20s.
And, you know, early 20-year-old me would have been like, oh,
this is
yeah,
true.
Just all sign.
Like,
just
I'm
tell
not
me where
saying
I need
that I'm any better than the players for not reading any of their terms and conditions, because to this day, I don't read anything I sign. Like, who knows? What I've signed that Apple could come back at me and be like, so you agreed that we could have your firstborn, so let's pay up. And there's nothing I could do because I said I agree and go from there. Now, one thing, though, that I felt was a little overshadowed in all of this, because first off, let me tell you this right now. Something that drives me insane when it comes to esports and the way they handle business, and I say they as in everyone and their mother in esports, because they all do this. Players, owners, all of them. For whatever reason, they decide to post all their dirty laundry on social media.
Oh, man.
All of it. They post it on Twitter. They'll post it on some random site to post a longer post. They put it on Reddit. There's no way that you can get around it. They will post dirty laundry, private conversations, calling people out, and they do this not to be transparent. Like, don't get it twisted. This is not, like, and I know everyone's saying, like, well, we just need to be more transparent. No, they need to be more transparent with each other. The leagues and owners, which at this point are all one, right? Like, before there used to be conversations of, you have three. You have leagues, owners, and players. At this point, leagues and owners are the same people. I think this proves that they're trying to become one.
The PEA was started
by owners.
By owners. Right.
So they're the same thing. So league and owners versus the players. And they need to be transparent with each other. As far as like fans and us who quote unquote media, they don't owe anything to you to be transparent. But for whatever reason, you see all these comments on Reddit and Twitter and all these people saying like, well, how could they not let us know? What do you mean let you know? Like, why does John Smith need to know the contract breakdown between these players and the owners? Like, they don't owe anything to there, and yet they still try to be transparent, quote-unquote, on Reddit with their posts. And no, it has nothing to do with wanting to be upfront with the public. It has everything to do with to hopefully get enough torches and pitchforks to get their way.
Right. And that kind of brings up another point that was kind of working against the PEA and the owners, is that that Counter-Strike hasn't really got to the point where, you know, like the NFL, the NBA, you know, big professional sports, the major three, where, you know, the players can't go up to the owners like, hey, look, I don't really like the way I'm being treated here. I'm gonna go and take my balls with me. No. The owners were like, you know what? There's going to be another one of you right over here that I can bring in and do exactly what you're doing. And guess what? People are going to watch. The owners don't have that luxury right now. It hasn't really got there yet where fans are like, wait, you know, Sean Garris, what are you doing to my TSM? What are you doing? You know,
it's more so everyone's focused on the players being mistreated as opposed to them running the show.
Right, because me and you have talked about this where, you know, no one latches on to a team, which really frustrates me. It's they latch on to players.
Right. I feel, full disclosure, listener, me and Brett are older. Like, despite my voice, we are probably on the older side of esports fans. So we're old man thinking, right? I'm not all hip and 18 thinking like, oh no, man, totally need the players to do this. This is wrong. So just throwing that out there. If we sound old, that's why. But I agree with you in the sense of these players have all of the power, mainly because of, you know, their persona on Twitch and everything like that. It's just, it's the nature of the beast at this point.
Right.
Now, one thing, though, that I felt was overshadowed in all of this is that, and I, to be honest, before I read the open letter, I did not know this because everyone was too focused on how they pulled one over on the players. But did you know that PEA has, they even offered ESL a global finals? Basically, both of their seasons, you have your own season, right? You have your own champion. And then they would meet in what would be a global finals between PEA, North American teams, and the WESA, which is for Euro. So you have that classic NA, the NA-Euro fight.
Which I wish would go away.
Don't get me wrong. It completely beats me down, but at least in this sense, they're hiding it between their actual names and not NA versus EU.
Yeah.
But that was never really entertained. WESA said, no, we're not going to do it. And then I think, this is my theory, because throughout all this, there was Sir Scoots and everything tried doing his research on PEA and seeing how much effort they were really trying to put in with ESL to get it to work. And ESA or PEA just did nothing. Like Sir Scoots said, bare minimum communication was delivered on their side. So this is my theory is that when they pitched this idea for a global tournament, when they said, no, we don't want to do that, PEA was like, F y'all, we're out. Like, done. Don't care. We actually don't need you. We were asking you this to be nice. And they were at a fault, arrogant as hell. Like, so cocky in their sense to where December 21st, this was like literally like a day or two after all this happened, they thought, you know what we'll do? We'll put it up to a vote. Let the players vote for it. And that was their roundabout way of saying, no, see, you have a choice. We're giving you a choice. Again, we're not stupid. You're giving them a choice between your two determined choices. So they're not really having a choice. You're saying us or them. And nowhere in between.
And who's it going to be? And
yeah, and
much to their disappointment.
To their disappointment, but is it really a surprise?
No, I mean, not
like,
right now.
Think about it. This is the way I was thinking about it. Is like, all right, you're in a relationship with this girl. You're kind of dating, but you're not committed, right? Like there is no, hey, we are not exclusive right now. Okay, we can date around, but I like you. And then all of a sudden, you went to this girl and was like, yo, and not even ask, You don't even word it in a sense of like, hey, do you want to be exclusive with me? Like, hey, players, do you want to just be with us? Because look, we're promising you all this money. We have all these organizations behind us. We have big plans. These are our big plans. Will you stay with us? No. They were like, hey, players, or hey, girlfriend, you can't see him anymore. Like, they didn't even try to beat around the bush. They just were like, they went the complete opposite way of how you should probably have pitched it.
Right.
Like, rather than asking, hey, let's just be with us, you told them who not to be with, which never works out. Like, telling someone they can't do something seems much more aggressive than saying, hey, why don't you only be with us?
Right. And it was a problem for the players, because right now the players' brand, and this is just my personal opinion, the players' brand is bigger than their team.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. And, you know, I guess the prize pools aren't there yet. I think they're going to get there to the point where the players are more content with maybe dialing it down a little bit and not doing as much, but this is their livelihood. You know, they feel like their brand is more important, in my opinion, and they need to be out there, you know, playing these tournaments on Twitch and getting their names out there and letting people see them, you know, to help them build their own personal brand.
And in their defense, though, I think that's fair on the player side, though.
Right.
Because that's all they've ever known. They've only ever known this crazy-ass schedule of esports, and prize money is how they make a living, and then, you know, sponsorships and things are thrown in there. But this is all they've ever known.
Right.
So for PEA trying to be the first on this new structured esports, of course that it's going to scare the players, which was even part of Sir Scoot's open letter of explaining why they didn't vote for them. It wasn't the money, because PEA, if you break it down in whatever way they did their math, they get more money doing PEA, like between prize money, revenue sharing, and all that. They got more money doing PEA. So it was not about the money. It was they knew ESL. They felt comfortable with them. They did not feel confident in PEA.
Yeah, and on the flip side, what if you do this, you know, PEA league, and it doesn't catch fire, it doesn't catch on. Now you've told ESL, hey, you know, we're gonna go to do this over here.
Can we come back?
Can we come back?
We're sorry. Can we please come back?
Baby, take me back.
Right after they just realized, like, no, we just had a pretty successful season without you. So we're good. Thanks.
Yeah.
Now I will applaud PEA for this, though, because I don't think that they were given enough credit, because they were definitely painted in very, like, they were the bad guys in this situation. There was rumors going about that they did everything behind closed doors, which they kind of did. So they kind of did, because they went a very weird way of being like, the league and organizations communicated together on this. But again, the league was the organizations. They were the same people.
Right.
Like, the organizations were the one who started the league and appointed a commissioner. This is the whole bit with the NFL, where people are saying that Roger Goodell is basically with the owners because they're the ones who basically vote him in.
Right.
So, of course he's going to side with them. Like, he doesn't want his people, like, outing him. And it's the same situation in this, where I find it very silly, and just, I think the organizations think people are dumber than what they are.
Yeah.
Honestly, I think that's what it is. I think they were hoping that this just kind of goes on the wayside. But that being said, I will applaud them, because I felt like they honestly their intentions were good. Their way about going to it, though, was very poor.
Yeah, I mean, they had some good points. The oversaturation, because, you know, and you know, I am a huge fan of NIP, Go Ninjas, and they won, you know, a tournament this year. And at the end of it, I should have been, you know, jumping off my couch, scaring my three-year-old, you know, just like screaming at the top of my lungs. But when you play in a tournament every other week,
right, it's like, congratulations, it's like, you won this one, but lost okay, to five others.
Golf clap, you won one out of a dozen tournaments that you played in.
And only few have like the majors. Like, everyone knows the majors is a big deal. But other than that, some people judge a tournament off its prize pool, which I've said on the show hundreds of times. I think that's a dumb way to judge a tournament, because you can have a very awful pooled tournament with a very nice prize pool, or vice versa. You can have a very good tournament with a lot of talent, and it's only be like 100,000 for all the teams. So, and that's few and far between, but I agree with you with the oversaturation. It's ridiculous. And I think that was a good point that they were making, saying, like, we just need structure. Like, in their original pitch, they said, we're getting rid of the Wild West aspect of esports. And when I read that, I was like, hell yeah, this is what I've been waiting for. I've been waiting for an exclusive league. I don't think exclusivity?
We'll go with it.
Exclusivity?
I'll allow it.
Exclusivity? I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing if done right.
Right.
Now, I know Sir Scoots was saying in his point, was saying that that's just, you know, that's what traditional sports do. We are not traditional sports. We are esports. My counterpoint to that is, why do we have to reinvent the wheel? Like, what is wrong with traditional sports? They're working.
And there are sports out there more popular. The most popular one, I'm struggling with words tonight.
It's a podcast.
European soccer. Okay. You have these European soccer leagues. You have your own league, and you can win that league. But all the best teams in that league will play in one or two major tournaments at the end of the year, and have just a massive, you know, champions
best
tournament.
Best of the best.
Yeah, it's the best of the best. And this could work in esports too. You know, why can't you have your PEA and, you know, your other European leagues, and then, you know, do a structure where, you know, you can still have these major tournaments?
I'll tell you why that will not happen now, and unless I think Valve or like one of the, I mean, you need like the big daddy to step in to fix this, because everybody wants to be FIFA.
Yeah, and that's really not a.
I mean,
that's not really good to have your name attached to that.
don't model your business after FIFA, but you get what I'm saying.
Right.
Like, you have the championship leagues, but then you have the EPL. We're talking soccer now. So you have the English Premier League, which is like how you were saying. Then you have the Bundesliga, which is the league for Germany. Then you have
Serie A.
Yeah, you have all of those.
Yeah.
So you have all these little country leagues going on, and then you have Champion League, which is the best of the best type of tournament for all those to partake in.
Right.
The issue with esports now is everybody wants to be the Champion League.
But to that point, on that point, they also have another league that's Europa, and it's not the best of the best of the league, but it's, you know, the teams that were below them, they play in this Europa League. It's not the best of the best, but hey, you got your own tournament that you can win. So, you know, maybe something like that
still
could appease the owners.
But who wants to take responsibility of the lesser team? That's my point. I mean, that's why you see all these leagues. This is why you see the ESL, and then you got, you know, Faceit's leagues. You got now the PEA, all these type of leagues that are starting up, because they all want to be recognized as like, this is the standard for Counter-Strike or esports.
Right.
My issue is no one wants to back down. Like, PEA tried to step up and buff their chest out and be like, nope, this is us. We're taking the reins to be the first exclusive league here. I think it could work. I really do. I think if the players honestly gave it a shot, it would have been fine. I think we would have all realized, like, you know what? Really not that big a deal. We're still watching our teams. We're still watching Cloud9. It probably gives me more of a reason to watch them, because now there is structure for me to root for, where I'm not going to lie, like, if they lose one night, then I don't really care because they're just going to play the next in a different league and they could win that. Sure, they're not winning in the same league, but whatever. And you can even see it in the players. They don't care. I mean, I was going to bring this up in the E-News, but like Godsent just pulled out of the WSA tournament coming up, I think, this weekend. Like, last minute pulled out. And their reasoning was JW basically said, like, we have a major coming up in 2 weeks. We are deciding as a team we need rest. Like, for our own mental health, we need to take this time off.
And I applaud them for that. That's, you know, that's money out of their pockets, but they're, it's exhausting.
And to think esports is the only one dealing with, like, well, because they got so many tournaments and leagues and matches going on. Tennis does it just fine with, or even bringing it back to soccer, but tennis has, like, their four majors of the year with matches in between, and it works all out okay. Like, it's fine. No one has an issue with it. Soccer, you have their regular season, and then they'll throw in random-ass international games in the middle of their season, and everyone lives. So it's okay. I mean, it's having multiple tournaments or anything like that's fine. I'm just saying I don't think people hear the word exclusive, and they just think that it's the players or the owners trying to take things away from the players. And I really don't think that is. I think it's the owners having good intentions for the bigger picture. Like, look, this is not just about, you know, Shroud or Stewie or Get Right. This is not just about them. It's not just about Hiko. This is about esports and Team Liquid and NIP and having a legacy behind, right? We want these teams to grow in the household. Well, how are you going to do that if any of these teams can fold at any moment? Like, think of Titan. Was it last year? Early last year, where Titan folded out of nowhere. And that was an esports organization that's been around the block a few times. It had a good Counter-Strike team, and it folded out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Reason being, because there's no structure to hold all of that.
And I think that's coming down the pike too. You got all these high profile owners buying teams, you know, owners of professional, you know, other professional teams. More, you know, I guess most recently, you know, there was the 76ers owner, NBA owner that bought a team. They run it. You know, they know the scene. They're already part of a mainstream sport. They know what works, and I feel like this is going to help in you know, kind of structuring leagues and making it more exciting for the fans, making the product better.
It's difficult for me to sound like I'm for the owners or for the players because I see both sides of the argument.
Right.
I do think the players delayed the inevitable, though. I honestly think that. I think that the players were in the right on this one because the way it was presented to them were shady. It was definitely
100%.
Definitely, yeah. Like the owners knew. They knew exactly what they were doing. They knew what their intentions were from the get-go. And this is not like a shock to them. I think the players were done dirty and completely understand why you would go with what you were comfortable with in ESL. But I do think they delayed the inevitable because with these, like you said, the big investors coming in, these owners aren't going to give up. They want that structure because when they have all this big money investors coming in, they're going to have more power. And eventually they're going to have so much money to throw at these players. The players aren't going to care. Like,
right.
Eventually you're going to stop caring.
You start money whipping people, and that's when you really test your loyalty, right?
And I guess we're just going to have to wait to see, though, because the PEA announced, I think it was last Friday, that they are postponing this season.
For Counter-Strike.
Yeah. Yeah. They are postponing the Counter-Strike season for, I believe, until next year.
Right.
I think the article said later in the year, but what's going to change between now and later in the year?
Yeah, and it frustrates me because, you know, I got into Counter-Strike a little bit late, but I feel like I can bring a, you know, I have this fresh perspective. And I see so much momentum, right? I mean, Counter-Strike's on TV now. You can go to Buffalo Wild Wings and watch a Counter-Strike match with your buddies. It's on TV. No one would have thought about that, you know. Most recently, it's not exclusive.
As recent as like 5 years.
Yeah, it's becoming more mainstream. Don't kill the momentum. Keep it rolling. I'm just hoping they find some middle ground.
And I think they will. When that will be, will it even be PEA? You know, maybe ESL is the one to do it.
Right.
Maybe ESL is like, hey, you know what? You guys trusted in us. Let's go do this. Let's try this exclusive league. You know, we can do the NA portion in NA, so you guys aren't traveling. You're not beaten down by international tournaments every week. And we can figure this out. And how about this? This is a crazy idea. How about you just make an off season? And then there, during the off season, you can have all your optional tournaments for these teams to join in.
Right.
You could have a tournament a week in the off season for all I care.
Yeah.
But let the teams decide.
Right.
You know, if Cloud9 is like, you know what? We're going to take June off. Let these other guys do these tournaments. That's fine. You know, that's fine. You still get the iBuy Power Cup. You still get all these tournaments that happen every year. But I don't think having a league is a bad thing. Like having one league with them. But good luck convincing the community that. Because they just see it as esports is their little precious thing, and that you can't change what esports is, and esports is going to change.
Yeah, it's changing now, but it's hopefully it's not a slow change.
No. What I was telling you too before the show, what I thought was funny, is throughout all this, so Sean Garris joined TSM like December 15th, and then like 10 days later was fired from TSM because of all this mess. And this was another layer of like people freaking out, blaming PEA for him getting fired. Like for whatever, this was all lumped in together and PEA was still getting blamed because TSM let him go. In short, I am 100% with TSM on that one. Don't get me wrong. Sean Garris is my bae. I love him. He's a beautiful, beautiful human.
That baby face.
But you don't post your text messages of your boss on Twitter so everyone can grab their pitchforks.
Yeah.
Like, you don't do that, dude.
No. And trust me, I've had my fair share of bad bosses.
We all have.
But if I was to stand up in the middle of the floor and say, you know what? This person here, incompetent, a moron, they're terrible at their job, and just scream that to the world, what do you think is going to happen?
Like, and that's what in the text message, the owner for TSM was kind of like, dude, why didn't you come to us first? Like, why did you have to join all these players in this private discussion with Sir Scoots and then just post it online before anyone comes and talks to us? Like, this is the first time we're hearing about it, and it's our inbox is getting blown up by people saying that we're trying to screw you.
And that's not the worst part of it. You know, putting out that letter without telling the owners first, it's the text messages. The text messages.
What I love, too, is that, so he's in the middle. I'm sure it's on his Twitter. Just look for it. If you haven't seen him, they're quite comical. So you're in the middle of texting your boss in what is a serious conversation. Like, it's you're talking about you going behind his back and he's a little upset about it, but he just wants to talk. And then you text him. Sean has the cojones to text him and be like, sorry, bro. It's in a DM. Like, bro, there's a time you just got to leave that deathmatch. It's okay. It's not ranked. You're not doing it. It's a deathmatch. Put the game down and talk to your boss.
Right.
But you don't text them in the middle and then you post it online. It's like, oh, buddy, I'm sorry. Yeah. I can't be on your side on that one.
Yeah. I mean, it would be like telling your boss, like, hey, sorry, boss. I know this like big event is happening here, but I'm kind of, you know, paying my bills online on my break. And
could you give me a minute?
Could you just give me a minute to talk? I know that the world is coming to an end, but
funny. When I read that, I was like, Sean, come on. As an adult, I cannot be on your side. I'm sorry.
No.
I cannot, as an adult, cannot take your side.
I mean, it's given us something to talk about. But
this
I mean,
is very true. Which I feel like is most of the dumb decisions in esports. It gives us tons to talk about. And quickly following up all this, WESA denied any exclusive allegations. So go figure. Like, they're like, no. We got no plans of this. Don't throw us under this. We are good. We got our teams, but they can do whatever they want. Do not blame us. So only time will tell. We'll see what happens. PEA is still here, but it's not going to be back till next year. Until then, everyone can play in whatever the hell they want, and we'll live with it. One thing, though, that you wanted to bring up, sir, was Mr. Stewie2K. Did you want to give us a background story on this? Because this is what you brought to the table.
All right, so...
It was his birthday recently, so let's remember this before you're mean to him.
No. He fully deserves every bit of what we're going to say. So, backstory, Stewie2K, very, the young stud, for Cloud9, decided that, he was going to let his fans know something that was unwarranted and unwanted. Wanted his fans to know his tough road to CS.
His tweet, which is pinned, by the way, so yeah, you can go look at it.
Yeah, this tweet is pinned on his Twitter.
In depth about my parents.
Yeah.
Read.
And words cannot explain the forehead.
So again, we're older. We're not teenagers. In fact, we're not even in college. That's how old we are.
That's how old we are.
We have degrees.
Yeah. I feel like as a father of a 3-year-old, I am just like looking to the future. If my son was to, we're gonna stop there. I'll let you just hit a couple of points.
So we highlighted a few things in this, and we're just going to read it. If you are a teenager, just know I'm not talking about you, okay? And do the opposite of this, and then that way you can be cool. But, so it starts out basically with him saying, it's been a successful year for me in Cloud9. I haven't had much time to get with you guys, so here's some things I wanted to share. This is Stewie2K now. When I started playing CSGO, school started going downhill for me. And I never was a fan of school either.
Who is?
Yeah, who is, Stewie? Like, you're a professional gamer. I figured you weren't a fan of school. How about I'm not a professional gamer and I wasn't a fan of school? CSGO was like a drug to me. The more I played, the more I got addicted. The more I got addicted, the more I avoided school. Okay, that's reasonable. I skipped a lot of school in my day to play some video games, that's fine.
I don't want to tell you how many hours I put into Battlefield 2142.
I was, when we were quote-unquote professional in Rainbow Six Vegas 1 and 2, the amount of hours, and we definitely skipped school to play and practice. Definitely. I mean, I remember when Halo 2 came out, my parents let me stay home. Now, maybe that's the difference, is my parents let me skip. In fact, my mom was like, are you going to school tomorrow? Halo's coming out. Like, what are you doing? Like, just stay here. So that's probably the difference. Anyway, so he goes on. However, for me, I had to worry about school. ...
I feel like you have to add the
You
dot,
have
dot,
to
dot.
Add that ... because that's emotion. That's him putting emotion into his words.
Like,
so he's talking about how all he did was stay up all night watching Dazed and Steel play these 10-mans and just stay up all night playing games. However, for me, I had to worry about school. ... How I had to wake up early. How I wouldn't have the energy to survive the next day. Hold up. Stewie, I love you. You're Cloud9 forever in my heart because I love Cloud9. But don't throw in that you had to wake up early for school as a reason for me to think you had a tough upbringing. Bro, I get up at 5:30 every day for work. And when I went to school, classes started at 7. So I probably woke up around 5:30 then. Who cares? That's what I have to say about that line. That irked me a little bit. Moving on to his dad, though. He says, my dad was always out of the country working, having a successful business, blah, blah, blah. My dad never gets angry, but when he does, he's just crazy rage. You know, parents. He scolded me, telling me that I needed to be successful or else my future would look really dull. Okay. I don't think that's your parents being unreasonable, sir.
No. Blind rage. If Braden's my 3-year-old. if he was to come up to me and say, you know what, Dad, this school thing, not really digging it too much. I just want to stay home and play video games.
And one thing we didn't touch on in between him not having enough energy to survive the day and his dad saying your future's going to suck, in between that, he kept skipping school. He had to transfer schools and just a lot of disciplinary issues with skipping school to play Counter-Strike and practice and all that. Okay, cool. Stewie goes on to say, I had no support from anyone that I knew, not even my parents. I've neglected what the school, mom, dad, brother, or sister said, and I proved them wrong.
So congratulations. You're one in literally a million people.
Dude, everyone. Yeah, like, I'm not saying I'm not jealous. Sure, I would love to be in your situation, Stewie. But not once in this letter did you say, hey, I'm sorry for being a dick. I'm sorry, mom and dad, for you actually caring about my future and for whatever bogus ass reason, maybe thought video games wasn't going to be it. Like, why would they think that?
I don't know. It's
like, how naive and stupid of his parents to think that their kid might not make a living doing professional gaming.
I mean, and at this point, we've discussed this previously. It's getting mainstream. It's not there yet. So if his, you know, his parents have nothing to go on, there's, because, you know, when this all started, Counter-Strike was not on television, which he goes on to talk about.
Yeah, he did say, like, at the end of the letter, he did say that they've seen him be on TV and be a success, and their relationship has evened out. They're good now. They had a rocky start. Again, I just think it's a little unjust, man.
Right, because
like, even if I had a kid and he was like, Dad, I want to be a professional football player, and I'm going to do everything I can to do that, I'll be like, great, still go to school.
Right. Like, have something, have a plan B.
Yes.
I don't really like this being your plan A, but have a plan B.
And don't come at me with this whole garbage of, Tim, don't you know how much time it takes they have to put in? Yeah, I do know how much time. And do you know how much time and effort you actually have to put into high school? None. And I can tell you that because I put zero effort into high school and I still graduated. And I put zero effort into college. I still graduated. It ain't that hard. You can do both.
Right.
In fact, come talk to me when you want. I want to see the first letter of a guy who had to have a girlfriend and be a professional gamer.
Oh, man.
Okay? That's what I will be impressed by. Not with you dropping out of school to be one. That's easy. Okay? You try balancing time between a woman and being a professional gamer when you're starting out. I'm not talking about now that you're pro, you get a girl.
Yeah.
I'm talking, try to convince a girl, hey, I want to be with you forever, babe, but I'm also going to be a professional gamer, so let me practice, okay?
Yeah,
I'm not going to get another job. I know you want to go out, but I'm going to do this.
I'll get you after 10 hours of Counter-Strike.
I'll hit you up. I'll hit you up later. I'll hit you up after this 10, man, okay? No, that would be impressive. Not this, Stewie. I'm sorry. I love you. Happy birthday. I'm glad you and your parents are okay. I don't give a damn.
Yeah, and even in that letter, he says, well, you know, our relationship's gotten better, but after they read this, it's going to be like, hey, man.
Yeah.
I thought everything was cool.
I thought I let you live at my house and kind of fed you and supported you. Not in gaming. I'll give you that, son. But how about in life? How about I could have sent you off to boot camp if I wanted to? Because you know why? Oh, I was your parent. Ya bitch. Like, seriously. If I was his mom and dad, I'd be like, bro, like, get out of here. Like, don't act like we just tortured you as a child. In fact, they seemed pretty cool, if you ask me, for how bad he was.
In that letter, he was like, it was just a blind rage. And the next line I was expecting to read was like, he would beat me.
Right. No, it was he told me my future was dim.
Yeah.
Like, bro, they took away your computer and you still got it back by the end of the week. Give me a break, dude. Maybe we're just old. Maybe there are some younger listeners listening to us thinking like, whatever, guys. He's an inspiration. And I'll tell you what, he is an inspiration, but please, for the love of God, don't try to copy what he did.
No.
The future does not need that.
Yeah, it will not work out in your favor. Maybe. But chase your dreams, kids.
Chase your dreams. Don't let your dreams be dreams.
You went there.
Of course I did. Dude, that was awesome. All right, let's move on to e-news, because I got a few things here for you. Spit your way. I really got to get, like, background music for e-news. I'll work on it when I, you know, feel like this show warrants any production value. We already discussed this a little bit, but the EPL Season 5... Actually, no, we did not bring this up, actually, in the EPL talk. That is actually being streamed exclusively on YouTube. YouTube Gaming.
Uh-oh.
Which, that caused a big uproar, and it was kind of funny in the sense of, like, yeah, like, the players just decided to go with them for their revenue sharing, and then it's like, oh... By the way, we're not on Twitch anymore. We're on YouTube. I know, like, some community, like, people in the scene were saying, like, oh, well, rip ESL. Like, not going to watch that. First off, yes, you will. Because it doesn't matter what it's on. It's going to be the same thing. You know, it's not like if the NFL is on Fox or NBC, sure, I have my preferences, but I'm not going to not watch it because it's on one or the other.
Right.
It's going to take more of an effort to remember because I don't, you know, like on Twitch, half the time I just go and I'm like, oh, there's a match on right now and I'll click on it and watch it.
Is there a live chat on
Oh, you
on
know it, dude.
Oh, okay.
You are still going to get... All right, so, I did see that where one guy was like, well, at least the cancer of Twitch chat won't be there. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Sure, buddy. Sure. Yeah, because
maybe
I'm
he
sure
doesn't know
just,
that thing called the internet.
Yeah, because it's just going to be such a mature audience on YouTube. Because, you know, YouTube comments are so mature. Give me a break, dude. But that will be on YouTube, whatever. I guess it will be interesting to watch something on YouTube. I don't really care. It's the same. Counter-Strike is Counter-Strike, right? And those finals are the ones that are going to be here in Texas. So we will definitely go to that.
Wait.
June 3rd through the 5th in Dallas. That's our neighborhood. FNS signs again with CLG, so he's back on CLG. Which,
good player.
Did you know he was off that team? He was on TSM the entire 2016,
and no one even knew.
I read that when I was reading the article saying that he was back on CLG, and they were like, "Yeah, he was out for all of 2016 on TSM." I was like, "Damn!"
But you know what? That's right.
It just seems like it wasn't that long ago that he left CLG.
And going back to Sean Garris, I didn't know he was on TSM until this Twitter war started.
It's those second tier teams, man. They just go under your radar if you're not paying attention. But yeah, I didn't know that was a whole year. Time flies by, man. Speaking of big organizations getting into esports, the Miami Heat buy stakes in Misfits. Misfits is a big Overwatch team. So they bought stake into Misfits. I'll take it with a grain of salt. I don't really know what buying steaks mean.
Other than making me hungry.
After that pizza that we ate? No way.
Yeah.
No, so that. I mean, it's like they have stock in them, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, cool. That's just a rich guy making it. I've said it before. It's rich people doing what rich people do, and that's making an investment.
Right.
They came out with their whole spiel saying how much they care about esports and stuff, and I just was like, give me a break, dude. Okay. I did laugh here, though. So the Miami Heat Executive Vice President and Chief Marketing Officer, Michael McCullough, said this in the press release. One of the things that really intrigued us about the Misfits is that they are a lot of similarities between the Misfits and the Heat.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Has he watched any professional Overwatch?
Like, what do you mean there's similarities? Like, there's... I don't understand. What does that even mean? And then he was going on how, like, they're one of the best teams, and so are we, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, that's a stretch, dude.
Yeah.
That's a stretch. Okay.
Although it would be good TV if you put the Misfit Overwatch team with the Miami Heat and just watch them interact with each other.
Oh, my God. I laughed at that, though. And speaking, it's keeping the trend of Overwatch. And look, I know the Overwatch League is going on, and I know this whole episode was basically poking fun at Counter-Strike. We'll get to Overwatch in future episodes, okay? Reunited ceases operations, and the roster, though, is planning on sticking together. Reunited, they were one of, like, the top Overwatch teams for a little bit there. And, like, when Overwatch really first came out and started, like, having professional teams, Reunited was one of the better ones. They were a player-owned organization. They've basically attributed to the reason they were folding is for financial reasons. They couldn't be financially successful and still be a player-owned organization. So the team is still sticking together. They're just going to be signed in by an organization. It won't be Reunited because that was them. So go figure, right?
Yeah.
Players need an organization to back them up. But heaven forbid if that organization asks for anything in return. Like, don't you dare ask that player for anything in return other than wearing your jersey. Because then you are infringing on his rights as a player. Whoa, my computer just went crazy. Anyways, how was it, Brett?
It was fun.
Did you survive? Was it easier than you thought?
Yeah, survived the day.
Well, I hope so, because we just have like 1,000,000,000 listeners on the show, so...
Oh my gosh.
You made a pretty big impression.
My Twitter's going to blow
up
now. Oh,
man. Speaking of Twitter, follow the show on Twitter, at The Center Ring. You just get show updates. There's really nothing there. But follow us anyways. It looks good. You can also join us on our Discord. We're always there. We're always chatting. Whether it be appropriate or not, we're there.
We're totally professional on that Discord channel. I don't know what you're talking about,
definitely.
Sir.
Definitely. So... look on our Twitter for the Discord invite, or just hit us up at The Center Ring. You can follow me on Twitter. I'm at Pirate Mushroom. And then, Brett, what's your Twitter?
That would be at Dallas Homer.
Dallas Shomer. Our website, tcr.gg. Check it out there for all the latest episodes. Very out-of-date YouTube episodes. Very out-of-date YouTube episodes. I have to get around to doing those, but... frankly, no one has said anything, so I don't think they care. As always, thank you so much for listening. We will be back, I'm going to say next week. Someone will be back doing this show next week. I don't know who. It will be me, and we'll figure it out between now and then. Until then, thank you all for listening. Again, Twitter at The Center Ring, and we will check it out. Check it out? Check you out?
Again, I'll allow it.
We'll see you next time.